the totem pole, apparently. I'm Toby. I'm Tobias, and I go to church here and thankful for it. Thankful for my pastor, Joe Collins. Even though I try so hard to make fun of him somehow because he's doing everybody else, I have not succeeded. And so pray for me as I try. I'll tell you what, if you take your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, if you'll stand with me tonight in honor and reverence of the Word of God. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. Our brother Aldridge, when he preached the charge, he started in chapter 10, scared me, gave me a great fright. I'm like, oh, he's going to preach my text. And then he jumps into chapter 9, and he does preach it for a good minute. But I got a good couple few points, so if you weren't here for that, man, I'm on top. It has been a blessing to be here at this conference. I'm thankful that Faith Baptist Church is willing and allow us to have this conference. It's been encouraging to me, to my heart and my spirit, and I hope it's been encouraging to you. It's been one of the things that I'll say real quickly, and then we'll read our text, is that, you know, we've all preached from one same book, the Bible, amen. We preached about one thing, and that's Christ. Hey, I tell you one thing that I love is that we exalt Christ in each and everything we do. We ought to live for Him. We ought to preach Him. We ought to, hey, when people see you and I, they ought to see Christ. And I've been excited, and man, I'm looking forward to tomorrow and to see what the Lord does. Luke chapter 9, if you will. We'll begin in verse 18. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. It says, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? Then answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Verse 22 says, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised on the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, we see, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angel. But I tell you of a truth, there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Let's pray. My Father, my God, I come before you tonight, before your throne of grace, and I run to you. And Lord God, I ask and pray that you'd be with me. Lord God, I pray that you would clear my mind. And Lord God, may I see your word, open it up to me. And Lord God, may I expose it to your people that they might be edified. Lord God, I thank you for all the preachers that I've already stood behind this pulpit and proclaimed your word. Thank you for the messages that you laid on their heart. Lord, I thank you for the message that Brother Hunter had preached. And Lord God, I thank you for using that message to put me in my place before I got up here tonight. Lord God, it was much needed. And Father, I pray that you'd be with us all. I pray your spirit will move and work in a mighty way. Reveal yourself unto us. May we see you for who you are, and may we worship you and honor you. And glory in you. Lord God, I pray that you be honored. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can sit down. This evening, I would like to title my message, The Scandal of Christianity. I've been meditating upon this text for quite a while. I thought I was going to preach it a little while ago. And then the Lord kind of changed my mind. I preached on something different. And then this kind of rolled over and really touched my heart. It was one of those messages that I needed to learn myself and really apply it to my life. And I'm still applying it. I have much to learn. But this is a powerful message. And the reason I call it the scandal of Christianity is because it begins by Jesus asking his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they give their answers of what the men around say that he is. But then he asks them the question, "Well, whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say that the Son of Man is? That Jesus is tonight?" The scandal of Christianity lies within this very text. It seems like it's become a cultural norm. It become historically a historical background of the fact that there's always been Christians, and this is how people view Christians. And I think it's not just been in the world, but I think it has basically sneaked its way into the church. I think too many people, and I'm not here to encourage, I'm here to challenge you tonight. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you will be encouraged, but I want to aim. I want to challenge you tonight, and I pray the Spirit of God will move. I want to ask you, whom do you say He is? Are you a true Christian? Are you truly living the life of which a Christian has been called to? We have had several preachers and we have a Q&A. Pastor, I've been called to preach. What now? I think if I was to change the question a little bit. Pastor, I've been saved. What do I do now? My friend, there's something different about Christianity. I want to talk not about a call to preach. I want to talk about a greater call. I want to talk about the call to follow Christ, to be a radical Christian in today's world, in 2019, going on in 2020. I want us to seep down and glean through this passage tonight and see what Jesus would have to reveal to us. I want to see what God would have us to hear tonight. And friend, I hope you've been praying and I've been blessed so far. And I hope you'll get something out of this message tonight. It's here for a purpose. And I love what Brother Aldridge said earlier. Hey, this is a passage. Hey, 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, it's going to say the same thing that it does now. That's encouraging. We see, we begin, and I want to say, first of all, we'll see the revealed call of Christ. It says in verse 18, "And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? Then answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say the one of the old prophets is risen again." But then he stops there and he says, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter answers and gives his confession, his conviction, and says, "You are the Christ of God." Friend, the world outside, they don't think of him much. They hear of the things that he can do. They hear about the things that he's done. And who do they call him? They call him John the Baptist. We see that in the whole chapter 9. Hey, the men are calling him John the Baptist, one of the prophets. Hey, he's alive, risen again. He's resurrected. Hey, let me tell you something. That's what the world thinks of him. But I want to ask you, I don't think Jesus truly cares of what the world thinks of him. I do believe he cares about what you think of him. Who do you say he is? I'm not asking whether you have an emotion or what he makes you feel like. I'm not asking whether he gives you that kind of butterfly feeling whenever you fall in love or whatever you've had that feeling. You know, it's not that kind of emotion. I'm not asking what does he mean to you. I want to ask you, who is he to you? What do you think of Christ? Who do you see him as? Hey, what does he do in your life? Has he made a difference in your heart? My friend, I want to ask, who do you say Jesus is? And Peter says, "You're the Christ of God." Such a powerful confession there. He says, "You are the Messiah." That word Christ means the anointed. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are great. You are the one who has come down to this earth to prepare. You have prepared, you have prophesied, and you're performing that of which you have been called to. He says, "You are the Christ of God." In the account of Matthew, Christ says, "Oh, blessed be thou, son of Barjona." What a truthful statement. You are the Christ of God. Now, who is Christ? Like I said, I won't spend much time on this. But who is Christ? He is the one of which came to our rescue. In Mark, he says that he must suffer many things. And he came down to pay a ransom for us. That's Mark's account. Friend, I will say this. Who is Christ? He's the very center of the gospel. It wasn't that Jesus came to his... We'll see this in verse 22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He must. The divine necessity of what Christ has come to do. He must, for things that suffer, he must be rejected, he must be killed, and he must be raised. Hey, let me tell you something. It wasn't that Christ came to the earth by accident. It wasn't that he accidentally fell in the hands of these men. It wasn't by accident that he was put on the cross. It was all divinely planned. It was ordained. It was planned before the foundations of the world. This is the gospel of Christ. Christ Jesus is the center of it all. And my friend, let me tell you something. Who do you say he is? Hey, this will dictate, this will determine the course of life you take. This will determine the way that you live your life. This will change everything if you get in grips with this reality. Brother, get a hold of this for what it is. He is the Christ of God, and he must suffer many things. Amen. He must suffer. He must be rejected. He must be killed. He must be raised. This is the gospel. My friend, this is the revealed call of Christ. This is what he's been called to do. Friend, do you see it that way? Who do you say he is? Saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. This is the revealed call of Christ. In verse 23, we see the radical call to be a Christian. And this is something that got a hold of me. Something that was basically revealed or opened up to me, not as a preacher, but as a Christian. We see the radical call of the Christian. It says in verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me. We see the call itself. If any man will come after me. I hear a lot of preachers who say, you know, the greatest call in life is the call to be a preacher. I disagree. It's a wonderful call. It's a blessed call, but it's not the greatest call. They say, well, the greatest call in life is to be a missionary. And I tell you, it's a blessed call to preach the gospel of Christ in foreign fields or even in our very country, our nation. They say, well, the greatest call in life is to be a pastor. No, sir. The greatest call that any is extended out to anybody, it's radical. It's the call to follow after Christ. It's the call to come after Him. And friend, it's not offered just to the men. It's offered to you ladies as well. Amen? It's offered to the young people also. Our pastor says, hey, you know what? We would like to see a next generation coming up. Not just, hey, we're the next generation, but we have another generation coming after us. Young men, what about you? You might not be called to be a preacher, but you're called to follow Christ. If any man will come after Christ, it doesn't say any preacher, any missionary, any man. Young ladies, what about you in your life? Are you willing to follow Christ? Are you willing to answer the call? If any man will come after Christ, this is the call of Christianity, the radical call to be a Christian, to take a stand. Too many people in the church house proclaims or has the so-called name of a Christian. But let me tell you what a so-called Christian is. And we'll see this in a minute. We see the condition of this call. And he says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. This is the condition of the call. And I will get into depth in a minute. But let me tell you something. I'm going to point it out. And I'm going to basically point you out. I don't know who you are, but I'm going to point you out somehow. Pretty good, right? So-called Christian is one of these people, is one of these people who come to church Sunday morning. They're faithful. They send a pew. They'll open up a handbook, Bible with them, and they have a prayer on their lips. Sunday night comes around, if they're feeling good, they'll come to church. Wednesday night comes around, and guess what? It's good weather outside, I'm going to go to church. But then we find out this is the only thing that takes place in their life. That's the so-called Christian. A man who is not faithful of following Christ. He comes for tradition. He comes for, hey, what he can get out of it. Friend, this is a so-called Christian. But we see the condition of this call, and this call Jesus makes. Hey, let me tell you something. It's not a call that the church makes. We're not Catholic. Hey, my friend, this is the call that Christ gave us. He says, if any man will come after me, number one, let him deny himself. Now, I'm going to just basically break this down. I'm trying to go quickly. Let him deny himself. What does that mean? It means, hey, let's live a life of surrender. Hey, let us surrender everything in our life. Hey, let us be sold out for God. I would deny myself. It's self-denial. It's not about just, hey, denying the pleasures in your life, my friend. It's not about just, hey, you know what, I'm going to go to church tonight, even though it's convenient. Hey, it's even greater than that. It means, hey, we're going to deny myself. I'm not living for myself. I'm not living for what I can gain, the pleasures of this world. But it means this. It means I'm going to surrender all. I'm going to be sold out. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Hey, we find in the next few verses, hey, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. Hey, but if you lose your life for my sake, amen, you're going to save it. Let me tell you something. It's a life of surrender. Hey, friend, let me tell you, there is a point here. To be sold out means nothing else left on the shelf. Oh, God, you know what? Hey, I got my keys, amen. I'm going to give you the keys to my house. I'm going to give you the keys to my car. Oh, God, I got my wallet. I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to give you my bank account, my finances. Oh, God, I'm going to give you, hey, my life, everything about me. I'm going to be completely sold out for the cause of Christ. That's not just a call for a preacher. That's a call for every Christian tonight, amen. It's a call for every Christian. Hey, this is a radical call. It's a wonderful call. We need to come to grips with it. Amen? It's not just the call to deny self, but it's the call we see to take up your cross daily. Now, during this time, it was never really, I don't think anyone would have had the mind to do so, to wear a cross around their neck. Truthfully, I don't think anyone would have had the desire to get a cross tattooed on their arm or on their back or wherever they tattoo, I don't know. You know why? Because the cross resembled something. The cross resembled agony, disapproval from everybody. Hey, it was said that the Romans were never placed on a cross because, hey, it was a shame. But also the cross represents what? Death. Hey, if we're going to be a radical Christian in 2019, going in 2020, hey, next generation, if you want to be a Christian sold out to Christ, hey, it takes a life of suffering. We need to be willing to take up our cross. And it's not something we do just Sunday morning and Sunday night. No, friend, it is an everyday process. Paul says, I die daily. Hey, I die to myself daily, but then I'm going to go carry out what I've been called to do. I'm going to pick up the pieces. I'm going to pick up what I'm called to do, and I'm going to fulfill it. I'm taking up my cross. I'm going to live a life for Christ. But we find also, lastly here, it's clear, to follow me. This is a life of sacrifice. Friend, I tell you what, we need to surrender all. We need to live a life or suffer. And I'm not saying that. I'll say this real quickly. A lot of people take that out of context. They say, well, you know, I'm going to go out in the streets and I'm going to yell at everybody and scream and they're going to persecute me and I'm going to be glad because I'm persecuted for Christ. No. That's not what it means. You're going to be rejected. And, hey, as our dear brother Daniel Pearson said, he said, hey, if the bullets are coming to you, hey, you're right on the right path, amen. Now, if you're over there in the field and you're not even in the battle, then you're on the wrong course. But friend, it's a life of suffering, but it's a life of sacrifice. It means, hey, this is my life. Take it. I'm following you. I'm no longer, hey, we have to deny ourselves. We got to take up our cross, and we're going to follow. We're not going to follow after what we want in life. We're not going to follow after what we can get. It says in verse 25, and we'll get into these passages in a minute, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" Follow me. That's a life of sacrifice. Third heading under this point of the radical call to be a Christian. Look at the center of the call. It says, if any man come after me, and if follow me. You know what the center of Christianity is? It's found in the very word, Christ. Christ is at the center of it all. Hey, when we are to follow Christ, it's not a call to follow after, tradition. It's not a call to follow after the Baptist movement. It's not a call to follow after, hey, a buddy who said, hey, I'm a preacher, and they're going to go that direction. It's not a call to follow them. Hey, yes, hey, we're going to be Baptists if we're sticking with the Scriptures. But let me tell you something. It doesn't say follow all these little things in the world. It says follow me. I think sometimes we forsake that oftentimes. You see it often in lives of other men, how they are so overwhelmed and so drowned in tradition. Why? Because I think they forgot what it is to follow after Christ. It means to be a Christian. Hey, to follow after Christ. The word he's talking about, if any man will come after me, he's talking to the disciples. Hey, it's discipleship. Amen. It's discipleship. We're going to follow Him. We're going to follow Christ, and that is the center of Christianity. But then lastly, we see the reasonable call of the Christian. Notice here, it says in verse 24, it says, for. 25, it begins with the word for. And 26, it says, for. For is there for a reason. Amen? It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And I've already basically got into that, and I've already spoke about it and preached about it. But my friend, this is logic. A lot of Christians today talk about a life, a preservation of life. You hear oftentimes in the preaching of other churches, you hear self-fulfillment. You hear the preaching of prosperity. But friend, if we really want to save our life, we're going to realize that we need to lose it. And we're not just going to live it, lose it for anything. We're going to lose it for Christ, for His sake, for the cause of Christ. Amen. We need to lose our life for Him. Do you want to save your life? Logically, anyone would. Who would want to? What does it mean to save your life? Well, that cross, like I said, it was a picture of agony. It was a picture of suffering. It was a picture of disapproval and shame and death. Well, if you want to flip that around to the other side of the coin, that could be, hey, if you want to save your life, you're going to save it by, hey, living a life of comfort. A life of, hey, people being a man pleaser. You're going to live a life of life, basically, of safety. You're doing all right in the eyes of the world. But here we find, for whosoever will save his life, will lose it. In the long run, you're going to lose your life. And let me say something. If you want to dig a little deeper, hey, what does it mean to lose it? I believe we'll see this throughout. I think these are all connected and they're intertwined, tangled with one another. Because we see, for what a man profit advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be ashamed, be a castaway. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed of him. My friend, if we're going to lose our life, if we're going to save it on this world, we're going to lose it in eternity. I think that can be an applicable thought there. If we're not willing to lose our life for Christ's sake, there might be a bigger issue at hand. I'm going to go on, and before I say any more, you all are confused. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save. But what is man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? A man is willing to save his life, he's going to try to gain everything he can out of the world. But what is it going to profit him when he loses his own soul? What is it going to profit a man who gains everything in this world? What will it profit him? How could he purchase his very soul back? And we'll find that, you know what? You can't purchase your soul back. It's gone. Hey, the chances that you had are gone. You've lost your life. You've lost your soul because you strive to save your life. You strive to gain the world. And not just that, we see, for what is a man advantaged if he gained the whole world and lose himself or be a castle? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. That thought of being ashamed is that we don't want to be seen with Christ. We don't want to be seen or be identified with the one, the Christ of God, the Messiah, the Anointed. We're ashamed of him. We don't want to be identified with him. And guess what he says? Hey, if you're going to be ashamed of me, guess what? If you don't want to be identified with me, guess what? When I come back with my Father and with all the hosts of the angel, and when I come back in my glory, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Hey, I'm not going to be identified with you. Let me tell you something. Look at it this way. You know what? If you say, well, I'm ashamed of him. Well, if he's ashamed of you, he doesn't want to be identified with you. Guess what? The only way that we're going to heaven is if we're seen in Christ. His righteousness is imputed with us. Christ liveth in me and I in him. That union, that identification that we carry. Well, if God or Christ is not willing to be identified with us, then the God of heaven, hey, his Father is going to say, you know what? Depart from me. I have never knew you. If you're ashamed of him, if you're willing to save your life and gain the world, and you live a life ashamed of him, then friend, there's something else coming for you. It might seem like there's a lot of profit. Oh man, I tell you, it's nice to live this good life. But a life for Christ is worth living. Because in the long run, the reason of it all is reasonable. And the fact that you'll save it. And you shall be pleased with you. And in closing, I want to, it's been on my heart, really has, and I was telling a friend of mine the other day, and she and I was talking about mission work, and what a great call it is to go to the mission field. And I'm like, how is it that we can live a life and not live a life for Christ sold out? Friend, if you're saved, if you know him as the Christ of God, then you're going to want to give your life to God. Upon this very text, many men gave their life. Many missionaries, many preachers, many pastors, many men and women gave their life on the front line for Christ. They sold their life to Christ for his cause, for his sake. And all I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to lose your life for him? This is a scandal of Christianity, because it's completely opposite of how we really view it. Let us stand together. Every eye closed and every head bowed. I'm going to ask the preacher to come up. And in closing, friend, I want to ask you, are you willing to surrender all to God? Are you willing to give it all? I want you to turn your eyes off the preacher tonight, and I want you to turn your eyes to your heart and ask yourself, how am I living my life? Am I a Christian, Pastor?